Welcome to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite. We're here in rainy Kansas City today at the home of the YMCA, one of the best-run organizations on the planet. I want to thank Gene Dooley and the staff here at the YMCA for taking good care of us. We had a great show yesterday with Mike D'Antoni, and we're going to talk with Rick Bucher from ESPN Magazine about that today. And we'll be joined later by Merrill Hodge from ESPN Primetime and Seth Joyner to talk about the NFL. But I also wanted to mention, if you want to call in and tell us what you think about the BCS and whether it can be improved or whether it's just never going to be a successful format unless you want to sacrifice the education of thousands of college athletes by adding, you know, 2 and 4 extra games, give us a call at 800-878-7529. Rick Bucher, world's busiest man, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm just a tad less busy now that we've finally resolved this Allen Iverson situation, and he has a home, and I think I speak for all of the people in the media in saying we're rather happy to see that happen.
You had reporters that were all over the country, and what's interesting to me, Rick, is 2 weeks ago, George Karl was saying he wasn't interested in Allen Iverson. What happened?
Yeah. Well, he said that right off the start, and then he found out that his owner, Stan Kroenke, was interested in getting Allen Iverson, that having a half-full arena and a team that was not meeting expectations, the feeling was with his owner that something needed to change, and they hoped to move one of the major contracts, and so George Karl, being the absolute smart man that he is,
team player.
But the guy who signs my checks wants to see Allen Iverson here. I think I can start with that. I can find a way to make that work.
So ultimately, you know, it's interesting, Rick, that with the death of Lamar Hunt, who is one of those owners that let his people do their job. Certainly, he gave input. But then there are other owners that say, listen, we have got to get some things done and turn them around. It's interesting to see how different coaches handle things differently. When we come back, let's talk about that, about the chemistry, obviously, of an AI and a Melo and whether they really can coexist and how much this makes them a true player in the NBA. We'll be right back with Rick Bucher, one of the top writers, senior writer for ESPN Magazine, on Head Games on Sirius Satellite and Sports Byline.
When other people say, sorry, sold out, Tickets Now says, where would you like to sit? You like to control your own destiny. You do what you want to do, and you go where you want to go. Why not sit where you want to sit? Tickets Now has the choice seats for every major sports, concert, and theater event in North America. From the 50-yard line to orchestra seats to courtside, Tickets Now has the seats you really want. With Tickets Now, buying tickets is easy, and each transaction is backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to ticketsnow.com today, where the words sold out are not a part of our vocabulary. Ticketsnow.com. That's ticketsnow.com. 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 Did you hear Ron Barr's interviews with the biggest names in sports last week? Now there's a way to make sure you never miss hearing from your favorite player. Sign up for the Sports Byline USA podcast and never miss a show. With podcasting, we deliver the greatest names in the game directly to your computer every day, automatically. Just go to sportsbyline.com and click on the Get Podcast button and never miss another show. Visit sportsbyline.com today.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
George Rosen III from the renowned Hallmark Institute of Photography.
If you are like many of our incoming students, you're wondering if now's the time to make an important change in your life. If you're serious about a career in which you can earn a living and be happy, and photography is your passion, our 10-month intensive program is your ticket to change. Don't wait any longer. Visit us at hallmark.edu. I'm George Rosa III, president of Hallmark Institute of Photography, where our mission is your success.
Hallmark Institute of Photography, 413-863-2478.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out HeadGamesRadio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
Yes, I was fired. It happens to most coaches. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to just lie there in the fetal position and whimper?
Welcome back to Head Games with Rick Bucher from ESPN Magazine and man that covers the NBA for his heart and soul. Rick, there has not been a great deal of evidence that coexistence of two top scorers leads to a championship. What do you think of the chances of this being a success?
Hey, there's a number of reasons, aside from the fact that you point out that having two guys who could lead the league in scoring has never produced a championship. It's also just, if you look at the Western Conference, it's just so thick with talent. And you're asking Allen Iverson and Carmelo Anthony, if you count in Carmelo's remaining 14 games that he's going to be suspended, the timeline for those guys to develop any sort of synchronicity is just very, very short. And so when you combine that with the competition in the West, I just don't see it happening. And it's not like Allen Iverson is at the beginning of his career. At 31, he's approaching the downside. So is it going to get any better? Is it going to get any easier? No. And the final verdict is you have a team that may be a little bit better than it was, but it's not going to win a championship. And in the meantime, you're taking on a luxury tax hit as a result of Allen Iverson's contract that makes this a very expensive proposition for a team that is going to be maybe a first or second round playoff team.
So basically you're saying that Philadelphia is saving $20 million and the Nuggets are taking on $20 million, but it is an up-tempo. It is a fast-paced style that does suit AI. Tell me, what do you think about the 15 games or 13 games, whatever it ends up being, where AI can really assert his leadership without Melo being in there? Does that help him?
You know, it's too bad that you don't have like a 30-day buyer's remorse clause in this deal, because if it could be where they just take Iverson on loan while Carmelo is out, that would be perfect, because obviously as difficult as the playoff race is in the West, having him there while Melo's out is certainly going to win them some games they would have probably lost otherwise. So that part of it is good. Now, if only they could, after the 30 days when Melo's back, say, you know what, on second thought, we'd like to have our guys back. We're not so in love with this. And that would be the ideal. Since they can't do that, it's going to be a huge challenge. As far as Carmelo and the suspensions and the fines that were handed out, there's no doubt that the NBA is under more scrutiny than any of the other sports, without question. It wasn't even a brawl, to be honest with you. I mean, two guys got into it on separate occasions, and you take a look at the baseballs that happened. Those happen seemingly every other week, and there seems to be far more action in those than what we saw in Madison Square Garden. Now, I understand the fans are in much closer proximity. It's a smaller court.
It's intimate. Court. They're in your face.
Exactly. And so it's going to look worse on TV. And since it looks worse on TV, then it's going to look worse to the general public. But I don't think it's fair. I genuinely feel that there is a double standard, and that people look at the NBA and what happens there, and they're held to a much tougher standard. You look at what's happened in the NFL just this year and some of the stuff that has happened. If that happened in the NBA, people would be calling for the dissolution of the league. They'd say we shouldn't be playing this sport anymore because there's just too many bad acts in it. And yet you got guys that are going to prison in the NFL for trying to kill their girlfriend. Please tell me how that's not the worst possible thing you could have.
Yeah, I think part of it is just the sense that so much can go so wrong so quickly in the NBA. I mean, you can say that there might be some racist thing. Of course, Charles Barkley thinks that's the case, that it's perceived as the black league, and baseball is only 9% black, and that's part of it. But I think it's also that it is in your face as well. Yep. We talked to Mike D'Antoni yesterday about the brawl. I wanted to see your response to this.
Nuggets? Not at all. I don't even think it doesn't, I don't know what George's, you know, what's happened to them in the past. I don't know what kind of team he has or what kind of mindset, but you know what? So what if you're getting beat? So what if somebody scores an extra 4 points on you? You know, do you think that somebody sitting around going, oh, they got beat by 15 instead of 11, they really look bad? You know, you're off. Take it like a man. Sit there. Get your team better for the next time you play them and try to kill them.
That's Mike D'Antoni. Now, I know you have a different opinion of this. Mine is, you know what? I'm with Mike D'Antoni here. You know, you lost. You're getting your rear end kicked. Who cares? Move on to the next one. Don't try to create a bigger problem. And I think that Isaiah Thomas did bleed into that. Maybe it's a little bit desperate because it sure looks like the Knicks aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, no, there was a lot of emotion in here. And in any other circumstance, you might not have had that. But you might not have had that same reaction, but there was a history here, and there was a question of, is somebody trying to show up somebody else? And so with that in mind, J.R. Smith running out after every possession and throwing down reverse dunks, and I mean, he was showboating. And with the emotions running the way they did, I'm not surprised that Marty Collins would take a hard foul and say, I'm not going to let you do that to us again. Not on our home court, not with all that was being said. So you have to take into consideration what the history here and what was going on, and knowing that you were provoking a response. Now, did it deserve all that happened? No. But you can't be surprised that the Knicks took offense to the way the Nuggets were playing the final minutes of that game.
Well, give me another option then. If you're not happy with the way that they are supposedly running up the score, what else can you do besides, you know, threaten a guy's physical health by tackling him under the basket?
I mean, to me, you take a hard foul. You let them know that we're not just gonna let you dunk on us. We're not gonna just let you waltz in for layups. If you go in, you're going to pay a price. And the bottom line is, J.R. Smith was not injured by that foul. J.R. Smith, I've seen far worse, far more dangerous fouls taken. So I'm not gonna say that he did something all that untoward. And the easy thing for the Nuggets is, run out the clock. Why do you need to be dunking, running out for dunks? That's actually contrary to basketball logic. You want to burn the clock. You don't want to score quickly because that gives the ball back to the opponent just that more quickly. You want to waste time.
You're saying they were doing none of that. You're saying they were doing none of that.
No, they absolutely weren't doing that. I mean, and maybe it was, look, J.R. Smith is somewhat of an immature player. He likes to showboat. This didn't necessarily come from George Karl. It may have been J.R. Smith just trying to stick it to him. But if you're the coach, look, I was watching Lakers-Bulls last night, and the Bulls had the game in hand, and Cephalosha came down and jacked up a three. And as he was going off and they flashed to the Lakers bench, and all of the Lakers bench looked at, including Phil Jackson, looked at Cephalosha and looked at the Bulls like, what's that about? And as he was coming off the floor, Skiles said to him, you don't have to take that shot. Don't be shooting a three in that situation. That's exactly what a coach does.
Well, let's get specific here. What's a game in hand? Rick, what's a game in hand? Having a game in hand, what is that to you?
A game in hand is when you have the ability to burn the 24 seconds off the clock and make sure that the opponent does not have enough possessions to score the necessary points to beat you.
But how many points is that?
Well, it's 2 points for, or say 3 points for every 24 seconds. So if you're up by 10 with a minute left, you should be able to waste that clock, because you're not only counting your 24 seconds, you're counting the seconds that they need to score at their end.
But then there have been teams that have come back from 12 points. I mean, it just seems to me it's an interesting thing. I do see now that there are things you can do to show a little bit more respect, but at the same time, I think Isaiah Thomas has a lot more important things to worry about than whether they're running up the score from 15
to 20. I'm not going to defend Isaiah Thomas, because he's in a tough spot and hasn't done a good job. And, you know, saying what he said to Anthony is unnecessary. You shouldn't be talking to the opposition.
Yeah.
But
listen,
we've
got to go.
George could have prevented this.
Rick, we got to go. We appreciate it, buddy. You're the best. We look forward to all your good stuff in ESPN Magazine.
You got it, man.
Thank you, my friend. Rick Bucher, ESPN Magazine. We'll be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite. Stay with us.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war among the major term life companies, and you may be paying too much. Consider these possible rates. A man, age 45, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, $1 million of coverage, is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man, age 50, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $113, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rates for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. TermBusters specializes in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. So call this number now for a free quote.
800-430-6715. 800-430-6715. Call 24-7. 800-430-6715. 800-430-6715.
How would you like to cut your credit card payments by 30% or more? Genesis Financial can help. They have a program that can reduce your high interest rates to single digits or even 0%. You can get more cash in your pocket every month to ease the stress and burden of excessive credit card bills.
Genesis Financial helped us, so we can sleep at night again.
We can even answer our phone.
The weight's been lifted off our shoulders.
Working with Genesis, we truly feel like our prayers were answered.
Get a fresh start without going bankrupt, plus get hundreds of dollars back in your pocket. Call now for a free, no-obligation consultation. Let them show you how to cut your debt by 30% or more and save you thousands in interest, late fees, and penalties. The consultation is absolutely free. Call 800-470-4331. That's 800-470-4331. Don't wait another minute.
Genesis Financial gave us our life back.
Not available in all states. Individual results may vary. Genesis Financial, 800-470-4331.
Do you want to own a brand new computer and improve your credit score at the same time? If you have less than perfect credit but can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, then you're already approved for a brand new Dell, HP, or other name brand computer. Guaranteed.
Bad credit? No problem. There's no credit check, so you won't be turned down. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, you're approved for your brand new name brand computer. Call 800-787-2816. Guaranteed Consumer Funding says you're approved. Give us a call today at 800-787-2816 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. Act now. We'll add over $700 in premium upgrades and an MP3 player for free. And with select models, we'll throw in a free printer. So get the computer of your dreams today and improve your credit at the same time. Call 800-787-2816. That's 800-787-2816.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
Welcome back to Head Games. We want to thank Rick Bucher from ESPN Magazine giving us a little insight into that brawl. You know, Rick Bucher's saying that the NBA doesn't get treated right, that the NFL has people that are threatening young women with guns, that the NFL has all these problems and are not treated nearly as severely as the NBA. We're joined by a guy that might have a little opinion about that, Seth Joyner. Seth, how are you?
I'm doing great, Nick. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You know, I was saying that it's part of the intimacy of basketball. You have guys, you know, that are crashing into the stands. They're just a matter of inches away from the fans themselves. Do you think that's part of it? Do you think that the NBA actually is treated unfairly compared to the NFL and Major League Baseball?
I don't know. I think there's just so few guys, you know, on each team. You're looking at 12 to 13 guys on each roster. And, you know, the game is so big, and you're right. You know, you see the faces. You can identify with the players on a daily basis. I just think that David Stern is just trying to basically set the, you know, trying to set the standard and trying to clean up the game as he sees it. You know, when you look at players and you look at the general public, I mean, you're making a comparison. There's only, you know, however many players in the NBA, there's only however many players in the NFL. It's unfathomable to believe that you're going to get all of the guys in the NBA, all the guys in Major League Baseball, all the guys in the NHL, and all the guys in the NFL to act the way that they should act. You know, you're going to have some guys that step outside of the bounds, that think they're bigger than the game itself, and you have to deal with those guys accordingly. I just hate the fact that all the apples get thrown in the same bunch, and the outlook is the same for all players, no matter what league it is, that, oh, that's just the way you guys are. No, that's the way some of the guys are, just like in your opening. You know, 98% of the guys do the right thing, 2% do the wrong thing, but, you know, the 98 are the ones that get thrown in the heat with the 2%, and it's not fair to the guys that do things the right way and lead their lives in the proper way.
We're talking to Seth Joyner, who is a regular on Jim Rome on ESPN, and Merrill Hodge is with us for a few minutes today. Merrill, you're doing great work, my friend. What do you think about this? Do you think the NBA is treated differently from the NFL when it comes to brawls and the kind of issues that happen on the field?
Right. Well, be honest with you, I don't follow the NBA enough. I mean, here's what I'm proud of the NFL. I think the NFL does. I mean, they're the standard, and they are where we are in professional sports. Does it mean that the mistakes aren't made and players, you know, you can't control each and every player's action? No, but I don't think that we have the breakdown in behavior that they have. And, you know, when you look at the brawls and the things that went on the last couple of years, I think the NFL works hard and making sure those things don't happen, you know, like this thing with T.O. supposedly spitting and stuff. I would assure that the NFL will assess something next year and will warn players and will have certain boundaries where if a player is going to go that direction, then they're going to be suspended. And I think they do that so that there's not fallout like, you know, a brawl or something like that where it leaves such a black mark that it's hard to ever overcome, so.
Hey guys,
I don't follow the NBA enough to know all their rules and regulations,
sure,
to be honest with you.
Well, you know, I bet you, Seth Joyner, that if the NBA court became the NFL football field and you had all these bodies crushed into, you know, 90 feet by 50 feet or whatever it is, I bet you that somebody spitting would be a little bit more important, and maybe that's a big part of it as well. What about trash talking? Let's start with Seth. The trash talking seems to be something that is connected in the culture of both the NFL and the NBA. Do you think they're doing enough to reduce that, or do you think it's more than ever?
I don't think it's something that really needs to be, you know, reduced. I mean, when you look at the NFL game, I mean, they've reduced, you know, in my mind, NFL defensive players to a certain, you know, standpoint, you know, to flag football. You know, there has to be some kind of equilibrium as far as, you know, how the game is played. There's a game that goes on within a game when you're playing a game like football because of the physical nature of it. You know, there's an intimidation factor, you know, that you don't see in the game. Back when I played, it was there. If you could get into a guy's head, then your job was half done. So now what? We're going to take that aspect away from the game? You know, you don't. The antics of T.O. and some of these wide receivers would never have been stood for back in the day when I played, because we would have just taken care of it on the field. Some of the things that are said, you see wide receivers that run routes across the middle with no fear anymore, because you know what? When a safety comes up, he's got to worry about whether he's got his head up or his head down. The game is meant to be played. It's a violent game. That's just the nature of the game. Let the guys play. Trash talking is never going anywhere because, you know, it's such a vital part, you know, of the mental makeup of the game. If I can get into a guy's head, well, my job is 95% done because now he's thinking about me instead of thinking about what he should be doing.
Hey, let's shift to defense, and Mara, I just like your analysis with Seth about two defenses, one that already has been considered with great respect, another one that may be the Achilles heel, and that is Chicago and Indianapolis. Chicago, suddenly they've had some injuries, and suddenly their quarterback is not the problem. What's going on with Chicago, Mara?
Well, you know, when you look at what they've lost, you know, they've lost kind of the core of that defensive line, the core of that defense. The one thing that they were doing early in the year, that they were so good at, they didn't have to blitz. They were getting pressure from the defensive line. They were getting quick pressure from their tackles. And because, you know, the loss there at the tackle position, they just don't get any push anymore. You know, they're not going to get the consistent push. So when you throw the ball, it's just an easier way to throw the football from the quarterback perspective because you can step up. You know, just watching the Bucs, you know, one of the reasons Tampa was able to come back is there was just no consistent pressure on Timmertay late in the game, and he was able to step up. It was very obvious because one thing we plug in the Chicago tape, the first thing you see is like there's immediate push. I mean, those quarterbacks are five-step drop, and they're in their face, and that's not the case anymore. You know, so can they offset that? You know, you can offset a little bit with some pressures, but without those key people there that can do it individually, it just makes it harder. Anytime you have just like one or two guys that can handle the pressure aspect, you've got to concern yourself with that. It makes it so much easier on a coordinator, you know, not having to give up players to blitz, you know. So it'll be a little more difficult for Chicago, but, you know, obviously they still have a very good defense, got some good players, but I don't think they're going to dominate in the playoffs, you know, once they get started.
Well, Brian Urlacher made another Pro Bowl and certainly a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year, but Seth Joyner, you might argue that while Brian Urlacher is a tremendous physical specimen, like a lot of great players in the league, also in the NBA, the same kind of criticism. Does not have the fundamentals that might make him a truly great player.
Well, you know, maybe not, but within the system that he plays, he really doesn't need it. You know, I think that you're going to see some different play out of him now when you lose a guy like Tommy Harris in the middle and some of the other players, you know, they've lost because of suspension this Sunday and some of the other injuries that they have. I think it changes the way that Brian can play the game. You know, let's face it, a guy like Ray Lewis and a guy like Brian Urlacher, you know, they're hitters. What you do is you protect the interior of the offensive line, which means the center and the two guards will never, ever get to these two guys, and they're going to run from tackle to tackle as free hitters and just knock people out. Well, the game begins to change for these guys now anytime that they're missing one of the big defensive tackles in the middle, and they have to now take on a block and get off a block. We've seen it happen with Brian, probably about a year or two, you know, after they made their initial playoff run. And then you've seen it happen with Ray Lewis, you know, a year or two after they won the Super Bowl. These guys, the defenses are built differently this year, especially the scheme that these guys play in. So the day of, you know, reading, reacting, getting off blocks, taking on, you know, big 300-pound linemen, you know, they're kind of over for these guys because they're playing at 235, 240 pounds. Back when I played linebacker, I played at 245, almost 250, and most of the linebackers played at that weight because you had to have that mass to take on blockers and get off and make plays.
Merrill, is there a big difference when you're carrying that ball through the line when you're going to be hit by a Seth Joyner versus one of the smaller Kawika Mitchells, if you will?
Oh, sure. I mean, anytime you have, a size difference, you know, I mean, the game's about leverage, though. You know, I mean, I didn't get too caught up in, you know, how big a guy was because the game is not played, you know, pound for pound, per se. It's not like the NBA where you play it up about a rim. You know, it's about leverage, about position, you know. What kind of technique am I in? Because I can tell you this, somebody's 250, and I got my pads under his pads, and I have a rising blow, and I have the same foot, same shoulder. That 250 ain't going to do him any good if I'm under his pads. You know, my 220, I'll take that any day. You know, same for the guy that's straight up 220. I mean, it's about leverage. It's about playing the game with technique, too. I mean, now if everybody's equal, sure, that 30 pounds is probably going to give the advantage to the bigger guy. But that's what's great about football. You know, you know, it's a constant battle is to have good technique and be in good football positions. That's why no matter how long you play or who you are, you get your block knocked off on occasion because you can't always be in great football position. But that's the great individual chess match, but it was so a great challenge for me is to constantly try to be in good football position when you play.
Well, we appreciate you joining us, buddy. We know you're a busy man.
Good
but we appreciate
boys.
It. Great
good
job you're doing
you,
ESPN.
Man.
You bet, man. Thank you, sir. When we come back, that was Merrill Hodge from ESPN Primetime. We'll talk some more with Seth Joyner about defenses around the league. We're going to shift to Indianapolis and talk about Rob Morris, the strong side linebacker. Maybe he added a little bit of punch there for Indianapolis, but maybe, just maybe, Indianapolis is not going to be able to gain that sense of stability until they get Bob Sanders back, or maybe they never will. Maybe they never will get that Super Bowl chance. We'll be right back on Sirius Satellite with Seth Joyner. I'm Nick Lowry. We'll see you in a minute.
Smart business people know the difference between success and failure lies in the ability to grow. Being limited by your current facility adds up to lost productivity and even worse, lost revenue. You've looked at the price to build, but have you considered the cost of not building? With interest rates still attractive, now is the time to build that warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space you need. A pre-engineered steel building from General Steel will save you up to half the cost of a similar conventionally built structure, and it'll be erected in about half the time. From airplane hangars to riding arenas, gymnasiums, and churches. Expand quickly and save money.
Call the General right now for your free estimate. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298. And learn about our $20,000 rebate offer. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Look, honey, it's the Joneses.
Oh, they've come caroling again.
One, two, three, and...
We just got ourselves a T-Bone. Yeah. T-Bone has exclusive features. We can record two shows at once. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
And transfer programs to our laptop.
Only TiVo has exclusive features that let you schedule recordings from the web, transfer shows to your handheld device or iPod, or pre-approve the best TV for your kids to watch. Until December 31st, go to Best Buy, Circuit City, Radio Shack, or TiVo.com for a free TiVo box after mail-in rebate and service commitment. See TiVo.com for details and discover why everyone is singing our praises.
Shouldn't we tell them we already have a TiVo?
Nah, let them have their fun.
Remember, it's not TiVo unless it's a TiVo.
If you're self-employed or you run a small business and you need competitive health insurance, pick up the phone and call the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. These competitive health insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company, and coverage may not be available in all states. So call now and see if you qualify. 866-503-MEGA. 866-503-MEGA. That's 866-503-MEGA.
It takes the same thing to get to the Super Bowl and win that it takes to get there and lose. You know, it's not the NBA where you got a 7-game series once you get in that in the final. You got to get it done that day.
And now back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
Give us a call and tell us if you think Chicago's defense is going to be good enough to win that Super Bowl, if you think that Indianapolis defense is going to be good enough to not cost them the Super Bowl. We talked with Jarrett Bell from USA Today yesterday about those very things. Here's Jarrett Bell.
Defense, you know, they've taken some major hits, and, you know, Tommy has, you know, you think of the Bears defense, and you know Brian Urlacher's good, you know he's all pro, but he's got a lot of people around him, and Tommy Harris was a huge loss. And then you look at this other defensive tackle, Tank Johnson, who's probably not going to be on the team very much longer with his off-the-field issues. Then you got Mike Brown, who was a big playmaker. So he's been out since the middle of the season, and he's gone for the rest of the year. And then the other day, you talk about those big players. Well, you know, they're missing one of the starting quarterbacks, Nate Vasher. So that would be as big of a concern, I think, for the Chicago Bears, right?
That's Jared Bell. So what do you think about Chicago's chances? This is what people are calling the week-to-week season. There's a Super Bowl champion every week. Do you think Chicago has a chance now with all the injuries they have?
Well, I mean, Rex Grossman seemed to be playing a little better. That's always been their biggest question mark. You know, your team is only going to be as good as the weakest link. You know, and that means that if they basically have got enough people in those backup positions that can fill in and get the job done, and some of the other stars on that defense are going to have to step up and start making some more plays, then they'll be fine. But, I mean, when you lose a Tommy Harris, you lose a Mike Brown for the season, I mean, those are really, really big players in the grand scheme of what they're trying to do. And the problem is, you know, when you're trying to win a championship, you know, you gotta be good, you gotta have some luck, and you really gotta have some luck with the injuries when it comes down to the end of the season. You can't lose any major players. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, even though they're playing a team, you know, this week that really isn't that good of a football team, that team is still going to come out fired up and trying to win that football game. It's going to be interesting to watch and see how the defense actually plays, how they react, and how they play without some of the key members that they're going to be missing.
And Indianapolis, it's interesting, you know, they give up 375 yards rushing, and one of the worst examples of tackling you can imagine. They add Rob Morris, who is supposedly a tougher linebacker, but they're still missing Bob Sanders. Do you think Indianapolis is going to do enough to gain enough stability at that position?
I don't know if they can. Right now, the best defense for Indianapolis is their offense. As long as their offense can continue to put points on the board the way that they have been, their defense is, you know, sometimes when your offense is playing extremely well, it's less pressure on the defense because, you know, every possession that they get, they're driving, putting themselves in position to either score or either A or B, you know, they're playing the field position game where the other team has to drive a long way to get into to scoring position. I think when you get down to some of the better defenses in the game, especially in the AFC division, I think that that's where they're going to run into problems because I don't think that they're going to be able to turn every possession into a possible point-producing possession. And in that stead, then the weakness in their defense is really going to shine through because the team is really committed, you know, to running the ball a la a team like the Baltimore Ravens. You know, they're going to see a steady dose of Jamal Lewis. And if they run the ball with any efficiency that day, then all of a sudden the play action, the short rollouts and all that, those things come into play, and Steve McNair starts to really turn into the player that they brought him in to be. I see some real glaring problems for them, you know, on the defensive side. They're not, you know, technically sound. They don't tackle well. You know, Dwight Freeney gets up the field, you know, way too much. Sure, he had three sacks the other night, but against a team that was...
But that's all he's doing.
Well, but, I mean, that's his M.O. You know, he's a rush guy. But, you know, if I'm an offensive coordinator, what I do is I run the ball at him, you know, more times than not, especially when they move him around quite a bit. Because, you know what, he wants to get up the field. And when he gets up the field, he creates rushing lanes, you know, to run the ball. So, I mean, there's some things that they need to address. You know, they had some success last year, but, you know, the injury bug has bitten them this year, and they're not nowhere near as talented as what they were last year from the standpoint of how they're playing the game.
Listening to Seth Joyner, who is a regular on Jim Rohn, we appreciate multi-time Pro Bowl play. Let's talk about the Pro Bowl for a second, because you and I, you were in the Pro Bowl three times. I was in three times. I was actually all NFL seven times. But is it politics? Do you think the Pro Bowl is the best it can be? When I see that Tom Brady, Philip Rivers over Tom Brady in the Pro Bowl, are you kidding me? What's going on there?
Well, I mean, what are you going to do? I know from firsthand experience because I know what it is to have solid years and not get the recognition that you deserve. Yeah, the funny thing about the NFL is that, especially at the quarterback position, if you're a first-round draft pick, you really don't have to do a whole lot to get the accolades, you know, that most people have to really work their tails off to get, because there's some type of validity thing that goes on. When you take a guy in the top five, you know, and those expectations are there, It's almost like the league wants to see these guys become stars. Not that, you know, I don't want to see them become stars, but I thought that when you made the Pro Bowl, you made the Pro Bowl because you were the best person at that position. Now, you cannot tell me, even though, you know, San Diego's had a great run, they've had a great run because LaDainian Tomlinson has made it very easy for Phillip Rivers to make this transition. When you run the ball, the way that he's running the ball, it's very easy to play the position of quarterback because you can take your shots when you want to take them. You can hit the check downs. You know, all he's managing the football game, but you cannot tell me that he deserves to be in the Pro Bowl above Tom Brady. You cannot tell me, even, you know, despite the fact, you know, of this last incident, you cannot tell me that the leading touchdown receiver in the NFL, and Terrell Owens, doesn't deserve to be in the Pro Bowl. But you know what? He's a media sore spot. He's, you know, a sore eye for the NFL, and they are not going to give him, you know, his due respect because of that. And that's not right, because the best players are supposed to go to the Pro Bowl. It shouldn't be a politic thing. It shouldn't be, you know, one of those deals where, you know, if he's the correct media guy for the NFL and he does all the things right and says all the things right, it's all about what he does on the football field. And those two players are two of the best players at their position, and it's unfathomable to me that neither one of those guys are in the Pro Bowl and some other guys are.
Well, just because the team is winning, and that's, of course, the ultimate measuring stick. But as John Clayton, who's on this show every week or two, says, Warren Sapp is one example of a guy who is having a Pro Bowl season who's been slighted. Are there some other people, Seth Joyner, you think that deserve to be mentioned that should be on that team?
You know, I don't know, Nick. I mean, I haven't looked at it close enough to really, you know, scrutinize it and look at guys play and see who's there because they truly deserve to be there. It truly is a popularity deal, you know. I mean, there's just no getting around it. If you're one of the popular guys and you've had a halfway decent year, let alone that you're a former first-round pick, don't be a top-10 pick, of course you're going to get the nod over the guy that's a seventh-round guy or sixth-round guy who's had to really bust his hump and get there because you're not supposed to. You weren't drafted to be in that position. You know, it kind of makes the rest of the league, it makes the coaches, the GMs, the scouts, it kind of makes everybody, you know, look like idiots when the seventh-round pick gets in and the first-round pick doesn't get in. It's like, what do we miss? What do we do wrong? But one thing you can never measure what's inside of a guy, what drives him, his heart and his determination to be a great player, opposed to a guy that, you know, that was drafted in the first round and everything is expected of him. You know, that's just the nature of the game and nature of the player, and I think the best player should be voted in, hands down, no doubt about it.
What about the vote taking place as it does a couple weeks before the end of the season, after 14, 15 weeks, rather than at the end of the season? Why do they do that? Is there something logistical that can't be handled in the shorter time frame between that and the Pro Bowl?
You know, I can't put my finger on it. You know, I think that, you know, when you're talking about sending a player to an All-Star game, obviously baseball and basketball, you know, hockey does it a little different because of the length of their seasons. But I think with football, it's a unique situation because you've got 17 weeks to play 16 games. And I think because of that, you should play all 16 games and let those games determine who is the all-star at each position. I don't think that a guy has really done all that he can do, you know, from the standpoint of 14 and 15 games, opposed to being able to get all 16 in, to give himself the best chance. And so what you're saying is some guys, because of who they are, they're going to get in anyway. Some guys, because they play well for, you know, 10 games, they're already in. You look at a guy like Tony Romo. Sure, he's done a lot for where the Cowboys are, but the kid has only started, what, 7-8 games. You know,
I don't understand that either.
Well, that's just the nature of the game. But you know what? He's a media darling. He's good for the NFL. Feel-good story. So anytime you get a situation like that, of course. And I'm not saying that the NFL, I'm not in any way implying that the NFL picks and chooses who they want to be, you know, Pro Bowls and things like that. But I can assure you that there's some hanky-panky going on behind the scenes, you know, that just isn't right.
I can't get over the Tom Brady thing. To me, and I'd love anybody to call in and has an opinion about that, but it seems to me, how on earth can you overlook one of the great quarterbacks of all time, a guy that's dealing with a lesser group of receivers, a guy that's still leading his team to their 10-4, they're going to win their division, and frankly, this is probably the guarantee that Tom Brady and the Patriots are going to go far into the playoffs, because if he has anything to prove now, it's that that is just a joke.
Well, Nick, sometimes I think you have to look at, you know, what the criteria is. You know, it used to be a time when the Pro Bowl was looked upon as, you know, you had to have the numbers to get in, you know. So then you look at what type of numbers a player posts during the regular season. And for quarterback, obviously, you know, those standards are quite a bit different. For defensive players, you know, it was the standard for linebackers, how many sacks a guy got. You know, I think I got in at a time where, you know, the linebacking position was defined by the Lawrence Taylors and the Derek Thomases and the Pat Swillens of the world. I got in because I was a more rounded football player at that position. I was never going to be the guy to get, you know, 17, 18, you know, sacks, because I just didn't play in a scheme that facilitated that. But I was a much more rounded player. I could play the run. I could play the pass. I could rush the passer, you know, when it counted. But I think you have to look at, you know, what the criteria is. Do you take a bunch of players, a la the San Diego Chargers, 9 players in the Pro Bowl because they're 12-2? Or do you take, you know, a player like a Adrian Wilson here from the Cardinals that made it because he played outstanding football? You know, there's no set criteria for how you go about picking and choosing who is eligible or who should be in the Pro Bowl at a particular position. And I think therein lies the problem with the system.
Well, whether it's Tony Romo, who certainly played at that level but not for long enough, or a Tom Brady who deserves it for a multitude of reasons, we need to talk about this some more. When we come back, we're going to talk with Seth Joyner about a story he told me yesterday about Charles Haley at the Pro Bowl and this interesting culture of linebackers, the old style, and Derek Thomas certainly is one of the great linebackers of all time, but certainly a Seth Joyner who could rush the passer, who could tackle, who could cover people out there. Where are the old-style linebackers that could do it all? We'll be right back on Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite and Sports Byline. Stay with us.
If you own a home, you may be able to pay off your current mortgage or access the equity in your home without making any monthly loan payments. That's right. No monthly loan payments. A U.S. government-insured reverse mortgage allows you to convert the equity in your home into cash, giving you the financial independence you deserve. The tax-free proceeds won't affect Social Security or Medicare benefits, and you can use the money for almost any purpose you desire. The Senior Lending Network program has prepared a free educational video that explains how a reverse mortgage works, how to qualify, and how you can supplement your income without any monthly loan payments. If you're a homeowner 62 years or older, your free video is waiting. So call now.
For a free educational video from the Senior Lending Network on reverse mortgages, call 800-995-4280. 800-995-4280.
Senior Lending Network is a program by Mortgage Warehouse, a licensed mortgage banker, New York State Banking Department. Callers' information will be shared with lenders who are members of the program. Consult your tax advisor regarding tax implications.
This is Merlin Olson. Have you called the NASE yet? The National Association for the Self-Employed is one of your best resources to obtain access to affordable health, dental, vision, and critical illness plans. The NASC also offers other health, business, and personal benefits. If you are self-employed or own a small business, do what I did. Call the National Association for the Self-Employed. Call today to find out how the NASC can be your best resource for affordable benefits.
Call the NASC now. 800-839-4648, 800-839-4648. Big solutions for small businesses. Insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. Association membership may not be required to obtain insurance, so call right now. 800-839-4648, 800-839-4648. Not available in all states.
Golf Digest is going to cure your slice now, and that's a guarantee. Introducing the breakthrough video, Cure Your Slice Now, and it's free with your paid subscription to Golf Digest magazine. In this video, top PGA instructor Chuck Cook shows you the seven key phases of the swing and gives you his proven method for better control and longer, straighter drives. And here's our guarantee. If Golf Digest and Cure Your Slice Now doesn't cure your slice and improve your game, cancel the subscription and keep the video free. Every month in Golf Digest, you get easy-to-follow instruction from the best teachers and players in golf, information on the top equipment, the best places to play, and you also get the removable Pocket Tips booklet. Call now. Use your credit card and get your first risk-free issue, the Pocket Tips booklet, and the video free. You get 11 more issues for only $19.77. If your game doesn't improve, cancel your subscription and keep the video, booklet, and magazine free.
Call 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639 for Golf Digest.
Welcome back to our last segment with Seth Joyner. Seth, I just wanted to give people a chance to hear that great story about you and Charles Haley at the Pro Bowl and some of the trash-talking off the field that goes on at the Pro Bowl.
I can't believe you put me on the spot, Nick.
I'm putting you on the spot, it
was funny because, you know, being in the Pro Bowl for the first time, you know, being elected as a starter in the Pro Bowl, you know, Charles Haley is a guy that really likes to give you the business, so to speak. So it was kind of a little congregation of linebackers out one evening by the beach, and Charles kind of rolled in, and, you know, Lawrence Taylor was present, Derek Thomas, Pat Swilling, you know, most of the well-known rush linebackers. And, you know, Pat, Charles had some choice words for me. You know, he was kind of shocked and amazed, you know, that I would be starting in front of him in the Pro Bowl. And I alluded to the fact that, you know, I was really the only true linebacker that was actually at the Pro Bowl.
You could actually cover a wide receiver.
Well, I mean, cover wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, play the run, could drop back in zone, all of those things. And I asked him, well, how many of you guys actually do that? How many interceptions do you have? How many caused fumbles do you have? How many pass defenses do you have? So on and so forth. And he had no answer for me, you know, so my reply quite naturally, because you don't really get too many opportunities to get the better part of Charles, I told him, I said, you know, when I get winded on Sunday, I'll raise my hand and then you can come in. So he didn't take to that too kindly, but you know, he kind of started the ball rolling and I just had to put the brakes on it. So it was fun, it was funny, and you know, times like that you kind of cherish and always hold on to.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you give us insight in the game, and frankly, we're going to continue to talk with Seth Joyner over the next few weeks about when he talks about what's missing in terms of technique, not just the schemes, which we hear from Ron Jaworski and some of the other people like Mark Schlereth on his show, but also the techniques. We're going to go into detail about what it takes for a linebacker to take on a guy that weighs 350 pounds. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Seth, for joining us, my friend. We'll see you next week, buddy.
Take care.
Tomorrow's show, Fox Sports' Tim Brown, J.C. Pearson, going to go into the analysis of the Pro Bowl, some of the teams that are getting hot when it matters in this week-to-week season. Golf's Gary McCord from CBS and Amy Mullins from the Women's Sports Foundation. We've got it all on Head Games Radio. Check out Head Games Radio. Every time you want to hear the whole show, go to headgamesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Be safe in your Christmas travels. We'll see you tomorrow.